Good morning. It is 7:43 here on the Mighty 690, and we have joining us here for his monthly update, U.S. Representative Derek Schmidt joins us on the line. Good morning, sir. How's it going?
Good morning, James. Going great. Good to be back with you.
Absolutely. It is a nice to have you here, and we were just chatting a little bit off air. Of course, a lot of rain still coming down, but we're going to be kind of glad to at least bang this up because we'll be wanting it come August, I'm sure.
Well, that's right. It's feast or famine. But we got maybe a little too much water now, but we're sure going to wish we had a little more, I'll bet, come late July and August. But that's the nature of being a Kansan.
That's right. That's right. So here, as we get into our update this Friday, do want to talk about a few different things, starting first with something that I know near and dear to, of course, a lot of our producers here, and kind of a local government, you know, federal government impact kind of on a local scale. I know you wanted to talk just a little bit about some of the staffing at some of our USDA field offices.
Yeah, so, you know, the big picture here is that the administration and Congress have been trying to shrink the size of the federal bureaucracy, and we've done a pretty decent job of it. There are the total number of federal civilian employees right now nationwide is about the same as it was when Lyndon Johnson was in the White House. It's about 500,000 fewer people than it was 2 years ago. And that's a good thing. I mean, this bureaucracy had been allowed to spiral out of control, and you know, taxpayers were paying for it. So we're doing what we said we were going to do on that front. Having said that, sometimes they've gone just a little far. It's like when you're using a scalpel and you nick something you wish you hadn't. And I think some of these local USDA FSA offices are a good example of that. I mean, when you're in Washington and never been to Kansas and your task is to downsize the federal bureaucracy and you're looking at thousands or tens of thousands of people in an office building in Washington and that's what you're focused on, it can be completely outside your scope of understanding that we have federal offices, USDA offices, in our local communities and counties all over Kansas that literally have one or two people staffing them. That's it. And so if you take one or two people out of a one- or two-person office, that office cannot function, and it can't provide the service. And so we've been advocating to the folks that are making some of these specific personnel decisions, you know, you need to understand that one size does not fit all in this downsizing, unless you intend to shut off a service, which you shouldn't do. Farmers, producers need access to that local technical assistance and need that front door to federal ag programs. Unless that's what you're intending, you need to understand that's the effect. And so, actually, Representative Davids and I, you know, Charisse represents the part of the Kansas City suburbs. She and I have joined up, bipartisan effort, introduced a bill that's gaining some support that just says to USDA, you can't just shut these offices down by attrition. And we've got their attention. We had a good conversation with the Undersecretary of Agriculture the other day. He assures us they understand. They didn't intend that effect. And I'm hopeful that, you know, we kind of got that headed off now, but we'll stay on it.
Very good. And I know it is one of those things where there is the federal government just being so big, and it's hard to, you know, there's so many programs that I'm sure a lot of different representatives, you know, may not even be aware that, you know, we're spending money on some of these things because there are just so many programs out there. But it does seem like sometimes it's some of those, you know, smaller programs that actually do, you know, provide a big impact, even though they don't make up much of the actual budget when it comes down to it.
This is so much a function of Congress having been dysfunctional for the better part of a generation now. I mean, these are the types of detailed, nuanced, down-in-the-weeds issues that are important, but that only get attention when Congress does its job every year of dealing with individual appropriation bills. I mean, I know it's mind-numbingly dull, not the kind of stuff that people talk about in the coffee shops, but at the end of the day, that process of looking line by line at federal agency budget requests, what programs they're running, what outcomes we're getting, that's what the appropriations process is supposed to be. And when it works, it means that there are real eyeballs being put on all of these things every year, and you can make small adjustments in course, bring down the total top line, but make sure you do it in a way that makes sense. Congress didn't do that until last year. Congress hadn't done that for decades, and instead, you know, we relied on these giant omnibus appropriation bills. And when you do that, there's no eyeballs on the details. And so by trying to fix the process, we also will fix the outcomes. And for those of us in rural America, that's so important because we don't have the numbers to muscle through, the things that are priorities for us. We have to be able to do it on that detailed line-by-line level. So the things are connected, and we're moving back in the right direction on that. We actually have all 12 of the annual appropriation bills out of the Appropriations Committee now in the House, or at least out of the subcommittees. Most of them are out of committee. We've passed two of them. We were supposed to, off the floor, we're supposed to do two more of them this week. We ran into a little hiccup, but I think we're going to get most of those moved through yet this summer and again, try to stay on track, make the process work. The process means that the outcome has a chance to be shaped for our priorities, too.
We're speaking with U.S. Representative Derek Schmidt here on the Mighty 690. And, sir, staying on the agricultural topic here, I know that I'm kind of curious what the latest is with the farm bill as the saga continues with that.
We got it out of the House. The farm bill's 3 years overdue. It's supposed to be redone every 5 years. We're now on year eight. It's another one of those things. Congress hadn't been functioning. We've now got the machinery working again, if a little bit creakily, that's a word. But we've got the farm bill extension. We've got the farm bill out of the House. It's been over in the Senate. It's now come through the Senate committee. They are ready to work on it on the Senate floor. We'll see when it gets floor time. I'm hopeful it's going to. Senate's a different animal. It has different rules. Sometimes it's a little more difficult for them to get things moving. But I'm pretty hopeful that there are enough members, both Republican and Democrat, in the Senate to get this thing done. And so we're watching closely, and I'm hopeful the Senate will send us back their version, and then we can work out the differences, get it done, and get some certainty for producers for at least the next 5 years.
Very good. So we do appreciate the update on that. And, the homework is just a little overdue, so hopefully we can finally get it turned in.
Absolutely. That's a great metaphor, and it's so true. And it's just I know I sound a little like a broken record here, but we've had people in charge for a long time that were better at complaining than at doing. And we now are in a mode where there are a lot of us that just want to do. We want to get the job done. We want to fix things. And we're getting that done. It's slow. It's methodical. It's not flashy. But it's the right approach for the country and for all the people we represent. And Farm Bill is a good example of that. I'm hopeful we can get it across the line.
Let's go ahead and turn our attention to Iran and the latest on the situation over there. Is there anything that you can share for the listeners here today?
Well, there is. I mean, the current state of play. We're still in a ceasefire. It's got some holes in it. It's just back to crater in the strait, right into the Gulf. But on the whole, the ceasefire seems to be holding. And then, of course, the administration's negotiations are ongoing. I think a lot of us have concerns with, some of the parts of this memorandum of understanding that have been laid out there, which is really just a framework for further discussions. We had a good update briefing this last week with Secretary Hegseth. I came away more confident in the current status of our negotiations than I was just based on reading the public reports. It's clear the administration remains, their priority is to make sure that the Iranian nuclear weapons program is dismantled and fissile material is gone. It's removed from the country. We've already destroyed their capacity to reconstitute that anytime soon. Now, they could obviously, they could import materials from the Chinese or from the Russians, but they're not going to be able to do their own anytime soon. And by anytime soon, I mean for many years. So I actually think we're in a pretty good position in terms of the ongoing negotiations, but they aren't done yet. We have to wait and see what the Iranians are willing to agree to. And I came away reassured from the Secretary's briefing that our folks are still focused on the things that, many of us have said were critical from the start. We can't leave the weapons material with Iran. We can't leave them in a position to continue supporting terror through proxies all over the Middle East and potentially in the United States. We cannot leave them in a position to project power outside their borders in any meaningful way, which means their rocket program, their drone program has to be controlled. And I'm still in wait-and-see mode, and we'll wait and see. But I do want to say, James, the men and women who are serving in the region, the American men and women, and some of the allied men and women as well, they are doing a tremendous job. We've obviously got a lot of Kansans over there serving either through guard units or in active units. And they want the job done. you know, the other day. They want the job done. They understand the importance of it. We want them to get the job done, and then we want them to come safely home. I hope that happens sooner rather than later.
All right, we are speaking here with U.S. Representative Derek Schmidt. And, sir, of course, you know, this is going to be our last time we can talk before the 4th of July. Of course, America's 250 coming up. I know we've even got the Great American State Fair planned and that sort of thing. Anything that you'd like to talk about here just as we head towards the 4th?
Well, what a great country. The 4th of July is special every year, but for the 250th anniversary of country, this is a really a remarkably special time. I hope everybody has a great time celebrating. I'll be home on the 4th out across the district enjoying some of the festivities and visiting with folks, and let's make this celebration particularly special this year. None of us is going to live to see the next 250th.
All right. Well, sir, we do appreciate you coming on by. As always, some great updates here, and we look forward to chatting again soon.
Thanks so much, James. Take care.
All right. Thank you so much. That is Representative Derek Schmidt who joins us, and we have more coming up, including news here on the Mighty 690.